Right now, I'd like to introduce Mr. Eugene Redman.
Thank you. Well, enjoy that. And I'd just like to extend on this this legacy within a legacy, during which we invoke Arthur Brown. And I would like to also invoke another person, Henry Dumas. Henry Dumas and Arthur Brown had the both had that rare skill, that rare ability, that rare power, authority as creative expressors. At any rate, Henry Dumas was shot to death in 1968, but as Tom Ray just said, there were a lot of people who called themselves poets, and the poet had some stature at that time, meaning now, speaking now of the 60s. When you, into the early 70s, the poet has some stature. The poet was listened to. The poet was often followed. And the poet had some power. The poet had some influence. We liked to see the poets come together, and we were very much about getting the poets together. This was very important. I remember a number of poets and I driving over a period of years through the night sometimes and inclement weather just to meet an important poet, a great poet, and often to get there and find out he was too drunk or too arrogant to acknowledge us or recognize us. But that was the way it was. You did that. I remember Quincy Troup and I drove halfway across the country to meet a very important poet. We were munching on ribs and Old Crow, drinking Old Crow, and we got there and the guy says, you know, I don't know you guys. Anyway, there was a lot of anxiety, a lot of excitement, a lot of tension, as Ray said, in the air, a lot of anticipation. And, you know, you read this poet, and there was some really fantastic stuff coming out. There was some courageous stuff, some new stuff, some innovative stuff, some original stuff. And you wanted to meet the person who was at the other end of that telepathic ESP system. And so it was important that I got Henry Dumas, who, as I said, was shot to death in 1968 under yet-to-be-explained circumstances underneath the streets of Harlem at 125th Street and Lenox on May 23rd. It was important that I got the two of them together, as I did on about three occasions, and I think all but two of the occasions were at the Laclede, in the area of Laclede Town, at the Circle Coffee Shop and Bookstore there. But anyway, I met Arthur when I guess he was in his late teens, about the mid-60s, and at that time I was doing poetry and was winning a few awards and studying with Donald Finkel, and I should say to Donald Finkel that his grand student poets and great grand student poets and great great grand student poets are doing fine. At any rate, right away the sparks began to fly. Arthur Brown was intrepid, incessant, impetuous, brilliant, iconoclastic, a gadfly. He was humorous. I remember a group of us together. This was the period of Black consciousness and love yourself and the search for self-identity and collective identity and self-determination. And a group of us were together in this room, and we were all aglow and all alive with the electricity of the period. And we were shaking hands the way we shook hands in those days. And it was called a Black Power handshake or a soul handshake, but it was very firm and it had some stages in it and a number of sequences. And Arthur Brown stood back coolly after watching us and said, damn, where the hell did you guys get that violent handshake? And you can imagine, I mean, he was lucky to remain on his feet in that atmosphere, if you know what I'm talking about. In 1967, 68, 69, I mean, it was nothing short of blasphemy or heresy to say something like that. But that's what I meant about being an iconoclast and being a gadfly. We needed an Arthur Brown, and we need Arthur Brown. We need people who are brilliant and original and who will question what everybody else goes along with. You know, because perhaps we're doing it for the passion, and you know, the mass emotions of the time, the outpouring. And a lot of that's good, but it does have to be questioned. And every time I saw Arthur, he did question. At any rate, I would like to read something, a poem that I know Arthur heard, and it's a blues piece by Henry Dumas. I'll be accompanying on this piece by Freddie Washington. Dumas left behind him a great, huge pile of work. Four of the books representing a wide cross-section of his writings have come out posthumously from Random House, and I am the literary executor of the Dumas estate. I was just thinking the other day that Dumas died at about 34 and Arthur died at 34. And Dumas left this gargantuan pile of boxes of writings. And I don't know how much Arthur left. I don't know how you explain that. Maybe Arthur was doing the academic thing. Dumas went through about 3 years of college and then took to the road. But I don't know how you explain the disparity there between the incredible amount of writings that Dumas produced and what we have from Arthur Brown so far. And maybe there's a lot more forthcoming. I don't know that much about his work. But anyway, I thought I'd just mention that. I'm Your Electric Man, piece of blues by Dumas. Well, baby, when I turned you on, I didn't get no juice. I say, when I turned your switch, baby, didn't get no juice. Well, if you got another meter checker, I guess I have to turn you loose. Now I looked in your eyes, baby, your eyes just didn't light. Now I looked in your eyes, and they wasn't making their usual light. Think I better check your battery, baby. First thing I do tonight. Ain't no harm sitting on the couch in the dark. Ain't no harm sitting around the house in the dark. But when I come home, baby, I like you to generate a spark. Now you sit here, baby, get your gas and light free. Now you sit here, woman, you get your gas and your light free. If anybody reads your meter, pretty baby, it's gonna be me. I wrote a little poem that's part of a hero series, and it requires your participation to achieve actualization, to achieve the stage of happening. And you simply say, hey, hey, and I always include one of these in my readings, call and response poems. Would you just say, hey, hey? Hey, hey. Hey, hey. Okay, and after Arthur Brown and Henry Dumas and a number of other people, we all now are hip enough so that I don't have to tell you when to say hey, hey. You say it at the appropriate time. It's a hero. Hero. He took the lion lunge. He took the tiger step. He took the tomb trail. He took the sacred plunge. He made the ocean leap. He made the gong gong call. He made the death mouth. He made the freedom creep. He ate the juicy blues. He ate that rat roach flat. He ate the numb stare. He ate the airborne shoes. He caught the sassy space. He caught the totem call. He caught the kill flame. He caught that funky grace. He caught that funky grace. He caught that funky grace. So, Brown Arthur was a kind of hero to me. I always thought he was a lot older, and it was only years after I met him that I realized he was a lot younger than I was. As I said, he was so brilliant and so precocious, and you know, he never took back seat. I mean, he was an honorable, respectful person, but he questioned. And sometimes, you know, it was like an irritating brilliance. That the next piece is by Arthur, and it's called What Make. And he seemed to me to be standing at the confluence of a number of traditions. I always talk about the several traditions from which I come, and certainly Arthur hailed from these traditions. What make? What make my cage brother sing? Why he fertilized the air with his sweet bow song? Why he bruised his lip with trumpet and ragged his throat with saxophone? Why he score his arm with biographies of blues? Why he weave the streets of these plantations with brilliant corners a dark harmony? Make upright love on the piano blues or his midnight mare? And his love lie fallow in the rose? Why my brother with ear clipped to the doorpost? Country wild, as deep as a well, I am the crow in the distance. I am the distance. I am the black sharp wing that cut the changes, white boy. Say can't change, I the hungry eye, I the hunger, who orchestrates pain. I am tenor madness. I am the song slipping between the ribs. I am the tune to the bone. I am the drum. I do like the drum. Do I beat no more, no more, no more? Why he hang out on trees? Why he hang out on corners? Why he hang out on needles? What make him sing? Who he seek to assassinate with his sweet bow song? I want to read one more piece of mine, another by Arthur, and then end with a dialogue again with Freddie. This is a piece that Arthur heard, and something I wrote in the late 60s. And it's kind of nice to be able to have someone off of whom you bounce your ideas, and we'd read into the night, and a lot of this would be spontaneous. Wherever I'd see him, if I had something in my pocket or in the car, or if he saw me. A lot of times we met at Shirley LaFleur's house, I remember that. on the streets, Sophia House, Grace Hill Selman House in North St. Louis, where I, for about a year and a half, directed a preschool program. At various outposts, the War on Poverty Outpost, ELC, at the Dunham Complex in East St. Louis, wherever we could get together, wherever we met, we shared. This is just called Epigram from My Father. Father law, papa rights, daddyhood, run and trap song, search and dodge song, steel hammering man, Gunpowder, Whiskey Warrior, Night God, Moon Baller, Brawler, Grown Old, Slaughterhouse, River Mac Man, High Tail Teller, and Totem Pole Man. Wanderer across waters, Rail Raging, Rail Splitter, Folk Brilliance and Genius Grit, Folk Brilliance and Genius Grit, Rail Rage, IC, and BMNO, and Mopac, and Midnight Special, Freight Train, Bring My Daddy Back, Stone Story, The Story of Stone, Broken Bricks, Rocks Hurled in Pleasure and Rage, Pebbles Soft and Silent, Home Dome is a Blues Hardhead, 45 Degree Hat, Bull Durham Butt Bailing from Lips, Gabardine Shining, Above White Silk Socks, Satin Man, yeah, Satin Man, Silk Sure and Steel Strong, Hammer Hole on Life, Sun, Stone Bone, Black Blitz, Father Lore, Struggle Deep, Afro Dark, Afro Law, Daddy Death, River Bottom Song. And there's a lot of talk in author's work about either putting on or removing hexes and curses. And you heard that word hoodoo in the one poem Don read, and almost everything that Arthur put together represented that bad dimensionality that he thought characterizes people. That is, you know, having one foot in the physical world and one foot in the spiritual world. So Arthur, in the end, if he couldn't get you in some if every other method failed, he might put a hex on you. Old time monkey grip blues, hoodoo. And he's kind of interchanging W-H-O-D-O with H-O-O-D-O-O from hoodoo or voodoo. Keep a good eye on me. I see somebody looking me all up and down. So zone a good eye on me. Don't let these hellhounds bird me down. 'Cause I got hoodoo on my hoodoo. Goofle ground up in my wounds. And say a good word for me. Somebody talking me all witch around. So hail a true word for me. Or bad mouths grieve me after a while. Well, I got them hoodoos on my hoodoo. Goofing gurus round my peristyle. Lord, if my friends alert me, I'll sick these whatnots off my fun. Said if my friends don't hurt me, I'll shake these dadas off my fun. 'Cause peoples. Now just as long as I got my shadow, you know I can cool myself. Or I can shine out in that sun. Well, just like a wave out in the ocean. Just like a bee without a hum. Yeah. Just like a wheel without a motion. All right. I'm just waiting for my time to come. I think we'll end it there. Thank you. Freddie's going to do his own. Freddie was a longtime friend of Arthur Brown, and Freddie and I have performed together on and off for several decades. I'd like to say this, but anyway, he's going to end out our presentation.